busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. What's up, revolutionaries? I've been using that. That's a good shoe. You know what I mean? We've got Carlton Huffman, dear friend of the show here. We're talking about balance of power and all this other kind of stuff. But I want to pivot a little bit, and not to doom and gloom everything, but like, let's walk down this path. All right. It's because it's going to be January 6th again. And when the vote is certified, how poetic, you know. Let's say Kamala Harris wins this thing. What stunts can the GOP try to pull?
Well, there are a number of scenarios that we can look at based upon what happened in 2020, but also what they are currently doing and trying to tee up. And I can sit here and say, the good news is that Donald Trump is not in the Oval Office with the powers of the presidency and the executive branch to back up a lot of his shenanigans. The bad news is that Republicans at a lot of these state-level positions have definitely tried to mess around with the rules. But basically, it comes down to this. So just let's picture election night. If Kamala Harris were to either be in the lead, looking like she's going to win, or is actually proclaimed the winner by the networks. In Georgia alone, you have a board of elections that is made up of a majority of pro-MAGA Republicans, not even regular Republicans, but outright pro-MAGA Republicans. They have changed the rules that basically have demanded all 157 counties in Georgia have to count their ballots by hand, which that is, Georgia being one of the top 10 most populated states in the country, that is going to delay any certification or even just knowing what the results are going to be for days, if not up to a few weeks.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So,
and they also put in the rules where the county boards cannot certify the election if there are reasonable challenges to those results. So basically, they are trying to throw in to question, number one, what the results are even going to be, but also to delay as long as possible any chance that we would have any certainty over Georgia. In North Carolina, they changed the rules to a similar standard when it comes to the absentee ballots as Wisconsin. And what I mean by that is that Wisconsin law requires until election day, the election officials have to wait to be able to process and then count those ballots.
Right.
Before that, North Carlina had a system where they would be processed a lot faster. So once again, it is taking a state and slowing down the process by which the results can be both counted and then certified. And in Michigan is probably the most chaotic of setups. And we saw this in 2020 where you had it was required that the counties have to certify the election results. You had Republicans who were throwing a monkey wrench into the system, basically refusing to certify the results, even though Michigan was won decisively by Joe Biden in 2020. So every contribution by the MAGA Republicans is to do two things: slow it down and basically throw the certification process into chaos. So even if we have an established vote count with Kamala Harris in the lead, they're trying to set the tone for a weeks-long, two-month-long period of challenges to the results.
Which is hilarious because one of the things that the Republicans, you know, pissed and moaned about, I think I could say that on the radio, was the fact that, you know, we have these late-night ballot dumps. And so now there is nothing out of the ordinary about these, quote, late-night ballot dumps. But now what they've done is they've made them likely across the entire country.
It absolutely is. I mean, and it is basically trying to sow confusion. They put a brake on the legitimate actors, the legitimate media, and the legitimate election actors who are just trying to get to a result and tell the public what has happened. They're trying to basically force a system where nobody can know anything, or nobody has any clear idea of what's going on. And even when it was pretty well known, as we headed into the wee hours of the morning in election 2020, We saw that Biden was beginning to take the lead in a lot of these battleground states, including Wisconsin. But because they had the Trump folks had several hours to sow the doubts about these potential ballot drops, they were able to twist a lie that has taken hold of the entire Republican Party that we're still dealing with 4 years later, where a significant portion, if not a majority of Republicans, think that the 2020 election was stolen. And they are trying to do that at scale this time.
Yeah, he could lose by 12 million votes. He's not going to concede. What are they going to try to do? So we know what the strategy is on election night. It's to run out the clock, to not have a winner that night, you know, and try to sow as much confusion as possible. Between election day and January 6th, or on January 6th itself here of 2025, what are they going to try to do with the process there?
Well, you have, thankfully, they did build in a few additional protections, which formalized the vice president's role in certifying the election. It is kind of hilarious to me that regardless of what happens, Kamala Harris is going to be the one counting the votes in terms of she's going to be the presiding officer over the Senate, counting those electoral votes as they come in. But just as Mike Pence understood it implicitly, it is now explicit in law that the vice president's job is to just sit there, count the votes, and announce them. But what you could see in terms of trying to delay the certification in a lot of these states is to do what they tried to do last time, is to have one or two states thrown into question and deny Kamala Harris the 270 electoral votes in the Electoral College, and then it would be thrown into the House of Representatives. And this is where it gets very dicey, because even though whether the Democrats took the majority or not, the House of Representatives votes by state, not by sheer number of members, but votes by state, meaning that the congressional delegations in those states would be in charge of delivering those states to one or the other. And the way things are structured around the country right now, if they all voted in a partisan manner, that would deliver the presidency to Donald Trump if it got to that point.
Is it legal? They could do that?
It's as legal as a handshake.
Oh my gosh.
That is the one thing that they realize they cannot win the popular vote as the Republican Party has structured itself right now. They have basically written off entire parts of the country. They don't care about urban areas. They count those people as illegitimate. They do not care about suburban voters who have questions about abortion, questions about the increasingly racist language when it comes to immigration. Right. They only care about getting enough of their voters in the solid MAGA areas out to the polls, win enough of the Electoral College, and failing the Electoral College, throw a monkey wrench into that, and get it to the floor of the House of Representatives, where the majority of states in this country, by their congressional delegation, are more Republican, whether that is a reflection of the overall majority or not. And by process, that would deliver the presidency to Donald Trump.
And so, as we talked to Carlton Huffman, former Republican strategist and a dear friend of the show, remind me again, how would they do that? How would they force this to the House of Representatives?
If, say, the Georgia votes were in so much question, much like Florida in 2000, it comes down to a close vote where the Board of Elections does not want to certify whether there's enough electoral ballot questions in Michigan to where they're not going to certify, or if it's another state like Arizona. Fortunately, Arizona seems a little bit more on the safe side, since we have a Democrat governor and a Secretary of State there that would probably be able to put the brakes on any hijinks that they would pull out there. But in places like Georgia and places like Michigan, you don't need a governor or a secretary of state. All you need is enough county boards to refuse to certify the votes of the election. And then that would probably bring things into a legal battle, which would at that point, in the Republicans' minds, hopefully deny those states' ability to have their electoral votes counted on January 6th and therefore throw it into the House of Representatives.
And it just sign a state-by-state basis or the entire thing?
It would be on a state-by-state basis.
Okay. Okay, so they would, I mean, this would, so it's like, it could happen, but the likelihood of it happening is, what would you say that would be?
It depends on, I mean, if we are basing the scenario on Kamala Harris winning the presidency on Election Day, it would depend on, does she win it by just that blue wall and that Nebraska electoral vote, which would put her at exactly 270 electoral votes, and therefore all they would need is Michigan to drop off? Or does she win it by, does she pick off one of those Sun Belt states? If she picks off more than two Sun Belt states, then I think that the likelihood of the scenario drops to almost zero. But if it comes down to that 270 path just through the blue wall in Nebraska, it could jump to as much as 50%, if not more, at that point.
Wow. Okay. And so I mean, is this something where they would like run out the clock and here we are on inauguration day and and no one shows up, you know, because we're still in a battle or, you know.
This has happened before in American history. This happened without like the nefarious scheming of people like Donald Trump. But right. Thomas Jefferson was elected in this manner in 1800. You had in 1876, they did not know who the president was going to be on Inauguration Day because they had three states in the South, including Florida and South Carolina, that were still in dispute. And it only came down to, it was a corrupt bargain that basically delivered the South into the hands of Jim Crow, and the Republicans were able to keep the presidency. But they did not know who the president was going to be, so they made dual invitations out. And that is a unlikely scenario, but it is not unprecedented. And it is entirely these rare but not entirely unprecedented scenarios that you have these Trump lawyers and these Federalist Society appointees looking to poke holes wherever they can. As long as Donald Trump wins the presidency, they don't care how they get there.
And what's wild to me is, like, you know, instead of trying to improve your message and, you know, speak to voters in a way that, you know, changes their mind and wins them over by process of giving a positive message for your vision for the country. No, we have to find the little legalese that allows us to slither our way back into the Oval Office. It's just wild.
And I think you and me are both like firsthand witnesses to the devolution of the Republican Party.
Oh, yeah.
Because both of us would consider ourselves, we came of age in the 90s, early 2000s. Yep. And so there were rules of decorum. There were rules where we said we might not like the outcome, but we accept it. But around the time, beginning originally with Bill Clinton to a lesser extent, but definitely with Barack Obama, Republicans refused to accept the legitimacy of the fact that there was a majority of the country that saw things differently than them on a select number of issues. And so they thought Obama was an illegitimate president. They think Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. They will do everything they can if she were to win to paint Kamala as an illegitimate president, because they don't think that there is a Their worldview is basically set in stone that there is no legitimate way that they can lose an election unless it's by fraud or by criminality. And we saw it firsthand as we were getting into our waning days as very partisan Republicans, that it would not be uncommon for us to hear Obama referred to in a racial epithet or derogatory way, and also have it basically implied there was no way he legitimately won the presidency.
Yeah, there was a guy that I replaced on the Brown County Republican Party board, and it was because he would use the worst racial slur in reference to Barack Obama, and yeah, I mean, that was just seeing that become normal is really awful. So I hope to do this again as we get closer, because I think that would be really beneficial. And these are all, it's always good to hear kind of where things are at, and you have such a good understanding of all of this. So my dear friend Carlton Huffman, thank you so much for your time today. We got to do this again, and good luck to the old dogs this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Braves, go Dogs.
Thank you, brother. Good talking with you. All right, we'll be right back here on the show.